Good morning, everyone, and welcome to day 16 of the 21 days of Neural Pathway Reset for weight loss. And we are on quite the adventure, aren't we? As I said yesterday, we're kind of on a new kind of breakthrough before the breakdown, I should say, before the breakthrough. There's the breakdown of our old beliefs, which this is a great breakdown. There's a breakdown of old habits as we gently move into new habits, and we start to notice that we don't have to use will, that there's a natural process happening here. And, you know, if some of you aren't experiencing that, you know, just know that you're at the tempo and pace of you, and it's all perfect, exactly as it should be, okay? So for some of you, you've never done this kind of deep transformation and shift of the neurophysiology, of the cellular memories, of the DNA, of the past lives, of the core childhood traumas. And so it's going to take a little bit of time. And it's going to be a blink of the eye in the whole course of your soul's journey. But it's going to seem as in your human form that it's going to take, quote, longer. And yet, you're on a trajectory. You're on a trajectory. Does that feel like that could be true? Right? And so, you know, there is a rule of thumb, and this is a belief, so you don't have to take it on. But the rule of thumb is for every year that you've had these beliefs, or you've had this, let's say for this, in this instance, the weight has been on. So for every year that the weight has been on, it's a month. It takes a month of transformation, which is pretty cool. It doesn't take a year. So I've had the weight on for about 12 years now. And so that means that it's going to take about 12 months of this level of belief and transformation for this to shift, right? So if it's been 3 decades, it's going to take 30 months. Well, if it's 3 decades, that's 12, 24, 36 months, right? And that's okay, considering it's been 3 decades, right? Now, it doesn't have to be that way either. The acceleration that we are experiencing from this program that is creating a foundation, it will accelerate, even if it is 36 months. It will accelerate probably to about 18 months to 2 years, right? So we're cutting time off even. But know that give yourself the space. Don't put the pressure on yourself. Give yourself the space to unwind and unravel and reprogram your system. Give yourself the space. Like no one else gave you the space, which is in part why the weight holding is here. Do this for yourself now, as no one else was able to before. Give yourself the space, the breath. The breath. Give yourself a nice deep breath right now, and give yourself the space to have the timing be exactly perfect. Exactly. Capture this. That's it. That's a little bit of sound vibration from my cat's purring. He's on my lap. So he came to contribute a little bit. The megahertz and the sound of a cat purring is a beautiful form of release. So there's a little bit of an extra bonus today of sound vibration. Hopefully you heard that. Wow, so Sherry is lighter by 10 pounds. That's really cool. And Denise feels thinner. That's great. And yet there's a 5-pound increase, right? And that's okay. Right. So, Denise, I noticed that I got on the scale for the first time since I started the program, and I have a lot of inflammation going on right now. I notice that my face is puffy and my inflammation in my gut. So I was expecting the scale to be exactly where it was or higher. And so as I tap into it, it feels like there's some inflammation going on, and the inflammation can come from some of the detox that we are doing. Okay, so I was curious. I looked in the mirror this morning and went, whoa, I am definitely detoxing. So detox means that the cells are kind of vomiting, if you will. They're puking out toxins. Toxins take the form of chemistry, chemicals that we've held. Toxins take the form, like chemistry as in trauma, the moment of trauma and the adrenaline and all that stuff that gets held in the fat. It gets held in the cells. And so that when the cells release emotional upset, it also releases the chemical toxins. And so some of us might also be experiencing some of that, which is inflammation. My personal experience is that when I go to a lymphatic therapist to help detox, she has this really cool machine that she uses that really helps the lymph move. And I can lose up to 12 pounds in a session. That's just inflammation, which creates water retention and so on. And so know that that part, there's a physiological thing that's happening for those of you who appear to be gaining weight. There's likely a detox happening and some inflammation. And so it's not weight gain per se. It's just a reaction of up and out. And I think you're right, Denise. I think that you are, quote, feeling thinner. I think that it is reflecting what's real. And yet there's some detox and inflammation that is going on, okay? All right. So I'm really proud of you, Susan C. The weight is holding. Amazing how strong my mind is. It wants me to cave under the pressure of familiarity. Yeah. I see what's happening and bless this moment as I am shining the light of awareness on my child. Oh, my God. That's going to make me cry. That is just, it's so huge what you are modeling for us. So huge. That you're noticing it, you see it, you're not judging it. You're being gentle with that child within you that requires the weight at the moment still. It's a beautiful, amazing honoring that you are giving yourself that no one gave you before, that you now get to give to yourself. That's beautiful. Amy says, I haven't lost any weight yet, but last week I noticed I hadn't had a caffeinated diet soda that day. Then the next day, now 5 days out. And it's just, she noticed it. It wasn't real. You see how this creates change? She enjoyed the tonal session. It's like the tones her released and relaxed her body. Yeah, this is really good. Beautiful. So, and thank you, Candace, for your prayer. Yeah, so Rebecca says, I've noticed last week, I feel very puffy. There it is, right? I feel like the weight is breaking down and in my lymphatic system ready to be released, but needing some assistance to leave the body. Yeah, a great way for us to support our lymphatic system is to bounce, is to kind of just lift the heels off the ground and then drop them down again and bounce for a couple of minutes, 2 to 3 minutes. If you do that every day, that really supports the lymphatic system. A rebounder, if you happen to have one, is also good. And you use the rebounder by bouncing without lifting your feet off of it. So a rebounder is a little mini trampoline, but you're not going to jump on the trampoline. You're going to bounce on it, which means that your feet still remain on the tramp the whole time, on the rebounder the whole time. Those two things really help the lymphatic system. Okay. Good. Oh, yes, and dry brushing. Thank you for reminding me. Dry brushing is also really, really good for the lymphatic system. And the dry brushing is, a dry brush that has bristles that are soft enough to go onto the skin. And then you brush towards your heart. So if you're brushing down from the neck down, you're brushing up your arms, up your the rest of your body, okay? And you just brush your whole body. That helps the lymphatic as well. Yeah. Yeah, lots of cleansing going on for people. Dale is sharing this with this information with the 80-year-old neighbor of mine. She's loving it, making progress as well, so the ripple continues. Someone says, I haven't lost weight but feel empowered. Yes, that's great. Now, how different is that? How different is that? To just allow yourself to be who you are and trust. And I think that we built that a little bit yesterday when we met our future selves. And, you know, I hope that you also noticed when you met your future self yesterday that you were, Susan, a vibration plate is also good. That's right. A vibration plate, if you happen to have one, is good for lymphatic as well. A little different than the bouncing, so if you have a vibration plate, do both. The bouncing has a slightly different movement than the vibration plate. So I hope when you met yourself yesterday that when she took you or he took you on a tour of your future, of the day in the life, that you got to see some of the habits, some of the things that you are doing that are different than you've been doing, that new habits are being established. I noticed that my future, Jennifer, she showed me that she worked out 4 times a week. She made different food choices. And she was generally happier, just not as stressed out. And she showed me that the food choices I made were different in that day in the life, that I ate far more protein and vegetables than I am now. And so so that was really cool to see that there's a pathway there. We have not addressed it in the course so far, but food is an important thing that we have to change. And I think you're all very aware of that, and we haven't mentioned it in part because the mind is like, you're not going to mess with that. At least my mind is. No. Like, I've been to many a nutritionist who told me all the things I can't eat, and then I'm like, basically I'm giving them the finger by the time I'm done. Like, there's no way, that's my mind giving them the finger, by the way. There's no way I'm going to do that. No way you're going to take that away from me, is what my mind does, right? It's because that's will. And so what's happening now is there's parts of us that are starting to trust that we're not going to do this the old way, the will way. We're not going to do this the punitive way, the way of feeling like we're being deprived. That's not what we're doing here. And so we want to just keep reassuring our mind that, yes, we will be making some adjustments in some of the things that we're eating, but we're going to trust that that's going to happen naturally, that that's going to happen when it happens. And we're going to bring it into our conscious attention as we have been with the one thing. So we've been wanting one thing to change, right? And that alone has been a really fascinating journey, hasn't it? Just noticing all of the beliefs that come up around it, all of the resistance that comes up around it, and without forcing it to change, but noticing that that's an intention. We're going to start now from here on out doing the same thing with other things. Right? So we're going to start playing with, okay, so not only am I wanting to shift the evening practice of eating, stop eating before 7:30, not only is that in my consciousness, well, now I'm going to add, I'd really like to move my body more. I'd really like to eat more fruit and vegetables more. And whatever works for you, you don't have to do it yet. You can wait till the 21 days is finished and then do another 21 days. And then add the next thing, and then another 21 days and add the next thing. That's a great strategy. You can start considering it now, which is also a good strategy. And so you can start noticing that you can, there we go, there's a shift happening here, that we will be shifting our behavior, that things will change, that we really do have part of weight release does include food. A shift in the way we eat. It does include that. It will include that, right? So So a shift in behavior, a shift in attitude, a shift in beliefs will lead to a shift in the way, in the things that we are doing to support our brilliant physical bodies. The basics are we move our body, we eat high nutritional food, alive food, and we are less stressed out. Those are the three things that lead to weight release, that without will. You know, I've been taking this course with David Wilcock, and he's just a master of finding studies that validate spirituality. He does some weird conspiracy stuff that I'm not a big fan of, but I've been following him for years, and I can get over the conspiracy stuff to really enjoy his brilliant mind. And I feel I need to qualify that, because I know that some of your minds will go, what? In judgment about, you know, mentioning someone like him. So I just want to mention that that we get to appreciate everything about everyone, even if we don't agree with them, right? Okay, so he talked about the pineal gland quite a bit. And we're going to likely play with the pineal a little bit today. So he talked about that there's a lot of ways that our pineal gland can get calcified, that it can become calcified. And so, and then that reduces our connection to spirit, to God, to divinity, to our soul. So one of the things he talks about is how to decalcify the pineal gland. And a lot of what we're doing here has been actually has decalcified the pineal gland. Almost everything we've done to date has been to decalcify the pineal gland, okay? One of the best ways is to eat vegetables and fruit, but vegetables in a bigger majority. Live food contains light, and light clears the pineal gland. Live food contains light, and it clears the pineal gland. Cool, huh? So when we understand these things, it's not just vegetables are going to help me to release the weight, but we understand that there's much more going on, that we can really get our mind around, oh, I'd like that. I'd like to receive more light. I'd like to help decalcify my pineal gland. I'd like that. I'd like that. And that allows us to then move into behaviors. That it's not, we have to, we should. We're not shooting ourselves. We are changing our minds. Gee, I'd like that. So more fruit and vegetables is a powerful thing to do for our physiology, because it brings light into our system. And we, the other thing that we've talked about already is blessing our food. Thank you very much, beautiful food, for the vibration that you are contributing to my body in health and vitality. Just blessing our food brings more light in. Our conscious attention on anything expands. And all of you here are empaths, so it expands even more, because you are an empath. Cool, huh? Good. So Marlene is sharing that David's conspiracy stuff works for her. That's great. And is it okay that it doesn't necessarily for me? You know, we get to notice, what does it feel like when we disagree with someone? That's part of stress, right? How does it feel? Good. All right, good. So let's play. Let me just check in here with all of you and with guidance. I had a plan, but I'm not sure that plan is going to be what we're doing today. Okay. Okay, so we're going to do a little spontaneous transformation session, and then we're going to do a quick laser of the pineal gland. All right, so right? Okay, so they're talking to me. Okay, so let's do a little what if. What if Let's just play with that right now. Take a nice deep breath with me. Oh, what if I could really release the weight? What if the weight could just dissolve? What if it were real? What if everything that we're doing here is real and we could actually release the weight? Say that to yourself. Let's move into a what if session. What if I actually knew and trusted and had faith that this is real and that could really happen? That I could actually move into that future self that we met yesterday on day 15. What if I knew that that was really true? That I had an inkling that grew into almost a memory of my future. And it's real. I have a memory of my future and it's real. That I have trust and faith. That I actually really could and will and am releasing the weight. That my system really is resetting. What if that were true? What do you think that might feel like? I noticed that it's a little less resistance for me than there was yesterday. Notice that. Notice all of it. Notice what it feels like that if you believed it viscerally, believed and knew without a shadow of a doubt that you are in the process of releasing. What if you absolutely knew that? What do you think that might feel like right now if you knew that? Just describe to yourself what it feels like to know that you are in the process of, and you really are releasing the weight. What's that like? Describe it to yourself. Yeah, so we're going to just pick up any glitches there. So if there's any glitch, notice the glitch. Just notice it. Don't dive into it. Just notice that there might be a glitch there. There might be I don't think so, or a little bit of doubt. That's all right. It's all right. It's all good. Notice the doubt. Allow the doubt to be seen. That's it. That's okay. And notice if there's any emotion attached to the doubt. Yeah. So my doubt has fear. Notice if there's any doubt. Notice if there's an emotion attached to the doubt. And if you can't get to the emotion, that's all right. It's all right. We can just use the doubt. But if you can't get to the emotion, where is that emotion in your physical body? And if you can't get to the emotion, then where is that doubt in your physical body? Where is the doubt in your physical body? Mine's in my neck. My neck and shoulders. Where's yours? Where's that doubt in your physical body? Just notice where it is. We're going to go into that area in just a moment, but first we're going to embody the observer. So what if right now you could totally 100% embody the observer? What if you could absolutely be the no thing, the divine neutrality? What if that were true? What do you think that might be like if you could absolutely be detached and neutral, be the witness and the observer, be in the stillness and the zero point and the still point? Describe that to yourself. What's it like to be the observer? And of course, the observer is compassionate and caring. Is that true? And the observer is also detached and neutral. Yes? Both of those things can happen simultaneously. Neutral yet compassionate. Yes? What's that like? What's that like to be that neutral, detached, compassionate stillness of the observer? What's that like? There we go. Good. Good. Breathe into that observer energy. Describe it to yourself and breathe into that description. And watch it growing. Watch it growing. That's it. Beautiful. And now we're going to bring that observer into this area of your physical body. And as soon as you enter that area of your physical body, you notice the upsetting emotion or at least the doubt. And you might notice the upsetting emotion as well. And you also notice simultaneously that you are the observer, so it's not impacting you. And again, it's really, 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 really important to be in the observer, no matter what. So if you feel like you're leaving the observer, just take a breath and say, I'm the observer. Remember what it feels like, okay? Very good. And so now, as we notice that there's a big emotion here, and that we, are, as the observer, are not really impacted by it, we're just observing it, we're just a witness to it. Does that feel true? We're neutral. And we follow that upsetting emotion to the epicenter, and as we approach that little epicenter, there's a little one, there's a younger version of us there. And as we approach them, we notice that they are in this emotion, and we are able to also be the observer. And so we, as we approach them, they notice that we're a different kind of an adult, that we are the self-contained energy of the observer that is giving them the space to actually be them. So it's a huge gift, us being the observer to them. We're not taking over their energy like other adults have done in their life. We are in the observer, and they get to be them. And we notice that they're very grateful for that, even though they're in the midst of this upsetting emotion. And we say to them, I'm here for you. We say to them, I'm here and I'm present and I'm not leaving you. We say to them, I'm here in love. I'm here to honor you. I'm here to acknowledge you. And I'm staying right here with you. I am not leaving. I'm staying here right with you as the observer to give you the space for you to be you. There we go. There's a nice shift there. Lovely. There we go. I'm holding the vibration of that shift right now till it completes. There we go. Good. Okay, so now we just say to them at the age that they're at, something happened, and what that thing was, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if we know or don't know. It's long, 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 long over, the memory of it. What's left behind is the emotion that didn't get to be expressed. So they did something really, really clever. They repressed their emotion so that we could survive. So we just say, first of all, thank you for saving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for repressing this emotion, because it probably would have been very unsafe to express it, if not dangerous. And at the very least, it wouldn't have mattered. So you did something clever and repress this emotion until this moment. And they have called us here. Right now, they have called us here to finally give voice to that which couldn't have been voiced, to finally express that repressed emotion. And so as the observer, we're over here observing, and they're over there feeling the feelings. And they're now understanding that they get to finally express this emotion. They get to finally let it out. And so we encourage them and say, yes, it's time. You've called us here to do this very thing, so go for it. Feel your feelings. And as they start to feel their feelings, we're observing and they're feeling. Is that right? We're observing and they're feeling. And if at any time you feel like you're diving in, then just at least say to them, I love you so much that I'm willing to feel this with you. I love you so much, I'm willing to feel this with you. It's best to stay in the observer. However, if that seems like you can't do it, it's okay. At least say to them, I love you so much, I'm willing to feel this with you, so that they know that you're not taking over like all the other adults have done. And so we let them feel and express and feel and feel and feel. And we say to them, well, of course you'd feel that way. Of course you'd feel that way. Of course you would. That's an appropriate emotion. That's an appropriate expression. That's as it should have been. Well, of course you'd feel that way. That's accurate. That is exactly correct. Of course you'd feel that way. Of course you would. And they get to feel, finally, give voice to that which couldn't have been voiced previously. They finally get to feel and express. And we validate it at every turn. Of course you feel that way. And we might want to just share with them how much we love and care for them. We don't want to use words like, it's okay, because it's not. We want to use words like, I love you so much. I care for you so much. You are so courageous in the face of all of this. In the face of the original repression, in the face of this finally expressing it. I love you. And we might also just have some words of compassion for them. I'm so sorry for what happened. I'm so sorry you had to go through that. I'm so sorry. I love you so much. I'm sorry you had to go through that. I'm so sorry. You are just so brave. So amazing. I love you so much. I'm so sorry. And if they need some comfort, if they come to you for comfort, you know, obviously pick them up, hold them, whatever they require. If they make the move towards you, then do that. And even then, you're very compassionate, loving with them, and you're also detached, allowing them to have their feelings. You're witnessing and observing. And they're feeling. And we are loving them. That's real. Compassionate with them. That's real. That's for real. That's for sure. So we just love them. And we say, well, of course you'd feel this way, sweetie. Of course you would. That's appropriate. That is the appropriate response. Of course you'd feel that way. Of course you'd feel that way. I love you so much. Of course you'd feel that way. Yeah. And we just love them and honor them and acknowledge them and validate their feelings. I'm so sorry what happened. I love you. Of course you'd feel that way. Of course you'd express it this way. That is appropriate. That's as it should have been. Absolutely accurate. There we go. So nice shift happening here. Beautiful. That's it, lovely. And now there's something else that is happening as they're still expressing, as they're still feeling their feelings. We've kind of cracked open the emotion, the repressed emotion, and what was held also in that repression was a part of their light and love and power. And that light and love and power is now activated, ignited, and reintegrating into them. It's filling their space with potency of love, light, and power. It's filling their space and expanding their space. Does that feel like that could be true? It's reminding them of who they actually are as little beings of divinity itself and power of divinity and the light of divinity and the love of divinity. And they are starting to reclaim this part of them that also got repressed when they had to repress the emotions in order to survive. And so they're now almost standing in a new posture. And they might still be feeling the upset, and those things can happen simultaneously. They can still continue to feel the upset as they start to reintegrate their light and love and power. And they might be standing in a new posture. Oftentimes at this stage, there are little ones around the planet right now that are standing with capes on their back and hands on their hips in their power. And they're starting to remember who they actually are. And they've always been this. And it's reignited in their conscious understanding of themselves. That they are more than this upset, way, way more. They are more than the incident that created the upset, which, again, doesn't matter, is long, long, long over. It's something that happened that created the repression, and now the repression is finally released. And they are standing in their power, and they're remembering who they actually are as light and power. Yeah? There we go, there's a nice shift. And as they stand in that power, we notice that there's a reorganization happening within their physiology. There's a reorganization happening within the neurophysiology. There's an energy of potency in their space, which is creating the space to increase, if you will. So it's as if there's more padding of potency and aliveness and power and love and light around them. So it's as if the ball of their universe just grew, like the Grinch's heart just grew, remember? 10 times greater. This space around them, filled with the potency of their love, light, and power, has expanded exponentially. It's the size of a football field around them, and that's all them. That's all their power. And that all that space implies that they're bigger. That space implies that they are stronger. They are, there's just more of them in power, love, and light, in divine support, in divine love. And they may notice that the borders of their universe are containing all this love, light, and power and have gotten more flexible and more powerful. So there's stronger borders of their universe now, boundaries, if you will. And they now stand in this self-contained energy of their power. And they notice that it feels safer here. That when they stand in their power, they are safer. Does that feel true? They notice that as they stand in this love and light and power of their own divine essence, and remember this, that they are safer. They're stronger. Does that feel true? That's it. And they notice that they are vibrationally bigger. They are vibrationally bigger. Right? So, as a result, their physiology doesn't need to be bigger. Their energy is bigger. The need to hold to be bigger is replaced by being vibrationally bigger, stronger, with really strong borders and boundaries, this self-contained energy. Does this feel like that could be true? And they're just noticing that. Ah, my vibration is big and potent. Potent. Such a great word for describing. They are potent. Thrumming with vibrational energy of love, light, and power. Does that feel true? And we notice that at the age that they are at, that if they were to grow up and create a new timeline, as we've done before, we're just going to just notice it this time, that if they were 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, from this experience, that their energy is what's needed to create that bigness, to thrive in a world that previously might have seemed threatening, but now is just, what is? It's just facts. Just people having their experiences that are bumping up to our universe, and we get to have compassion for them as she grows up, as he grows up into the adult in this new timeline, just clearly seeing that the people around him and her are doing the best that they can. And it really has nothing to do with us. Right? It has nothing to do with us. Their behaviors. Their beliefs. Does that feel like that could be true? That as they grow up, they get that? And that they are big in energy and strength and power and confidence and love and light. Does that feel like that could be true? That's it. And so now, the only thing, the only energy that's here right now is love and light and power. So if there's lower vibrating energies, move back into your observer. Move back into your observer and notice that love and light and power is here. Love and light and power, in as a divine essence, doesn't contain anger, does it? It doesn't contain judgment. It contains compassion and allowing and acknowledgement for ourselves and eventually others. Yes? Good. And so if you're feeling any other emotion besides that, that's your brilliant mind interfering, and it's okay. Just turn to your mind and say, I'm going to hang out with the little one who's now claiming their power and light and love that contains within it, of course, compassion and allowing and neutrality. And so we turn to the little one and ask them a question around all of this, around where we started with the doubt about whether we could release the weight and the resulting emotion and the expression of that emotion, and then claiming our power and reintegrating power, light, and love into our field of being. As we do that, as we did that, and as there was deep shift and transformation that occurred from that, and as you are now standing in your love, light, and power with potency and strength, strong boundaries, strong borders, what is it that you need now around all of this? What do you need now around all of this? What do we need? You need now around all of this? What do you need now? And ask them what they need, and don't try to figure it out. They will answer this. They will answer this. They will answer what they need now. Beautiful. And now ask them, what would it feel like if you were fully expressing that need? What would it feel like? Show me, please. What it would be like? What would it feel like? What would the experience be like if we could fully express that need? Yeah, what's that like? What does that feel like? What does that full expression of that need feel like? What's that like? And just notice what that description feels like. So what's the need expressed? What's that like? And then what's that like to experience that? And shine the light of consciousness on what these things feel like, the description. Allow them to grow through the light of your consciousness. Expand. Breathe into them. That's it. And now, what is the single word that describes all of that? A single word that describes all of those descriptions. I'm going to put an I am in front of it. Yeah. Yeah, that's it. And so when you find that one word that describes it all, we're going to get together with our little one that's standing in their power right now with a huge space around them. We're going to look into their eyes. They're going to look into ours. We're going to hold each other's hands. They're holding ours. We're holding theirs. And we're going to say to each other the I am statement. The I am statement. Three times out loud. Okay, so if you can say it out loud, that'd be great. If you have to say it just with them, that's fine. But if you can say it out loud so you hear your voice saying it as you're saying it to them and they're saying it to you, that's great. Here we go. One, two, three. And I'm go ahead. Wow, there's a big shift that happened with that I am statement. Beautiful. beautiful. And now there's just more light in your field right now. Does that feel like that could be true? That's it. So we are going to go into the sacred chamber right now and do a quick little laser treatment. There's already so much light here. I'm going to expand it. So everyone just move into the center of your brain. Move into that beautiful elevator. Click the button that says to sacred chamber. I'm going to turbocharge this one. Elevator door closes. We are being conveyed down, 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 down. Deeper, 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 deeper. We're relaxing. Mind is quieting. And we're going to go through the wormholes. Our little girls, little boys are off playing. Wormhole after wormhole, getting closer to the stillness. Then the elevator comes to a standstill. We step off the elevator into our sacred chamber. We're going to walk towards the healing bed. A beautiful bed of light. We lie down on it and it just feels fantastic. And right there, all of our amazing healers are waiting for us. And there's a pineal specialist. And that beautiful pineal specialist now has the magic marker. And it is outlining the pineal gland, which is right in the middle of your brain, kind of right behind the third eye. And it's marking it out. And having right above our head is the divine blueprint of our pineal gland, That's it. And that as it's hovering above, it's already impacting our pineal gland. The light that we just experienced from that spontaneous transformation technique session is also impacting the pineal gland powerfully, lovingly, transformatively, positively. All the work we've done over the last 15 days has impacted the pineal gland powerfully, lovingly, positively. Does that feel like that's true? That's it. Beautiful. And so now the laser gets turned on and it goes through the blueprint, the divine blueprint of our pineal gland into our pineal gland. And it's creating this beautiful decalcification, if you will. It's kind of cracking any shells that might have been around the pineal gland, awakening our pineal gland to the original divine blueprint of our pineal gland. And it's creating this beautiful opening in our crown chakra. It's creating a wonderful connection to spirit, to our soul, to divinity. That's right. Beautiful. That's it. Lovely. That's it. Beautiful. So the pineal gland is now shifting, awakening, decalcifying. It's opening up our brilliant connection to our soul. It's allowing us to connect even deeper, more deeply. And in that connection, there's safety that is opening up. This energy of, oh my gosh, I can feel the connection. I'm not alone. I'm not alone. That's it. We feel ourselves as it decalcifies that there's a deeper connection to everything. There's a deeper connection to ourselves, to others on this planet, to our divine nature, to our soul, to divinity, God itself. This is beautiful opening happening. That's right. And also, from a physiological perspective, the pineal gland also regulates some hormones in our body, including melatonin. And of course, melatonin has a big role in regulating sleep and our circadian rhythms, which allows us to have less stress, right? So it's now activating our ability to sleep well and impacting stress in our physiology.
That's it. Beautiful. And so there's a balancing and a resetting happening in our physiology right now. Our hormones are being shifted positively in a more balanced and aligned way. Our connection to spirit is opening up as this laser light from divinity moves straight through the blueprint of the pineal gland into our pineal gland. And it's a blueprint of our pineal gland, by the way. It's not just some random pineal gland, it's our pineal gland, the divine blueprint of our pineal gland that it's moving through. And I'm feeling a little pressure in my third eye. You might too. And it's just healing. Gently, lovingly transforming. Gently, lovingly transforming. Reminding our pineal gland of the original connection we have with spirit. Opening up that connection in the physiology so that we are literally able to connect with heaven. Starting to remember who we are, releasing some of the separation. And allowing ourselves to feel safe, safe here, not alone, connected. Watching that calcification just melt away. That's it. And as that calcification melts away, it's creating new thoughts, new behaviors, new attitudes that will support the pineal gland to maintain this beautiful health. We notice that in this moment as the pineal gland is being so powerfully healed that we start to maybe even want the vegetables to support the pineal gland. We feel our connection to the vegetables and how they want, the vegetables want to support us. The vegetables that are full of light, literally, chlorophyll. they gift us with that. That's it. Beautiful. Wow, that's lovely. Lovely. And the laser is just finishing up. And now the pineal specialist is coming in and adding their vibration and integration. So they've got their hands on either side of our head. And they're creating this beautiful vibrational stimulation to support the pineal gland in this moment. Kind of wake it up even more and help integrate the new blueprint, or the actually ancient blueprint that appears new to us in this moment. And we again notice that sense of connection. It's as if we're suddenly more connected. All right, and there's this beautiful surge that's going through the whole body from this area of the brain. It's just a beautiful surge of light, like a ripple, and it's kind of a little pulse that's moving through the whole body. And it's just cleaning and cleansing the whole physical body right now. That's it. Cleaning and cleansing the whole physical body with this pulse of light emanating from this pineal gland kind of connection. It's as if heaven is coming through the pineal gland into our physiology and creating this pulse of light that is cleaning and clearing our whole physiology and system. And creating this cellular memory almost of connection to our divine nature, to spirit, to soul, to God, source, divinity. There we go. Now that's settling down. And the specialist is removing their hands. And then there's a bunch of wonderful healers that are just fluffing our aura, integrating all of this amazing energy. There we go. Lovely. And we just take a nice deep breath. We sit on the side of the bed and then we get up. And we notice that we are connected more. And that connection will continue to grow and expand over time. We'll get it will deepen more and more and more our connection. That's it. Beautiful. Beautiful. Now, we bring our attention back to this room. Back to this area of life. And when you're ready, open your eyes. You might want to stretch a little bit. There might be a yawn or two there. Take a nice deep breath. Make a sound on the exhale. Oh. That's it. Beautiful. Well done, folks. That was a powerful session today. STT and then yay. Our pineal gland is decalcified. How fun is that? And again, for any of these audios, you can listen to them again and again and again. There's so many things that are contributing to calcifying the pineal gland so that you can continue to do this. This is not a one-off. You can continue to participate in these programs. There we go. Good. Great session today, folks. Thank you for the co-creation. Thank you, thank you, thank you for all you bring and contribute to this amazing series. I feel so blessed to be the conduit and amplifier of all your guides, bringing through each day some wonderful ways to reset our neurophysiology. And just notice how you're doing. Notice the changes. Notice the thoughts the old beliefs and old thoughts that come through, and bless them. Know that they have a really good reason for being there. Move into an STT session or shift the vibration in the moment, breathing or just moving into your sacred chamber in the center of your soul. You've got this. And I will see you tomorrow for day 17. Much love, everyone. Bye-bye now.